God's word, make some declarations about ourselves before we begin. Would you say this with me? Are we ready? We are the assembly of Jesus, built out of a diverse group of people to continue the work of Jesus in our neighborhoods, community, and the world. And our heart is to worship God with our lives, to assemble as a family and community of Jesus followers, and to share the good. Amen. Let's pray this together. If you read this on the screen with me and agree in prayer. Give us faith to receive your word, understanding to know what it means, and the will to put it into practice. I receive it as a beloved child of God with ears to hear, eyes to see what my Father will show me. God, do all that and more. We want to hear from you this morning. Cut in through all the noise. Interrupt our even thought patterns this morning. And just we want to hear from you. We want to hear a rhema word, which just means a new word, a right now word from you. In your mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Yeah. So yeah, a lot this morning. We got the Kimberly and I got the boys up early this morning and ready to make the trip to Denver, and got the call from Deanna. Just a lot to just process this morning. I have a great relationship with Grandma Pearl, very beloved in our family, and it's just been so quick that this has happened. Some of you, I think I mentioned it. Some of you might have seen her. She was here in the service last week, and she always loved it when she could come to a service at Destiny. She loves you guys. And so just keep praying for the family. Thank you for that prayer, Sandra. I so appreciate that, and thank you for your prayers. I want to start. How about we keep it simple today? which is let's talk about the things that that matter. And so I want to start with a simple but important statement this morning. And God's been speaking it all morning, but God is not silent. God's not silent. And from Genesis to the book of Revelation, we see a God who speaks, who reveals, who leads people, right? He comforts them. When there's pain and when there's hurt, he corrects, he empowers. Exciting to think about, and for others that makes us a little nervous. Maybe, you know, we start talking about the gifts of the Spirit, and you've seen them used beautifully and powerfully, and it's been just a beautiful display for you. Or maybe you've seen them used a little bit wonky. For some of you, maybe it was just flat out even embarrassing or manipulative. And the revelatory and the power gifts meant to operate in the church today. And so I want to start with something of a baseline for today. I think we all know it, but I just want to say it out loud and kind of comes. He will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose it to you when he comes. It's almost like he's trying to say something, right? Notice what Jesus says. He will guide you. He will speak, he will reveal. That's why around here, I don't know if you notice, it's just a little thing, words matter, but we try to say, you know, when we talk about Holy Spirit, we try to say Holy Spirit versus the Holy Spirit. He's not it. It's not a thing. He's not a force like in Star Wars. Use the Force, Luke. Although that would be cool. He's part of the triune God, right? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So let's not talk about him as if he's a thing. And so knowing this, spiritual gifts don't come from techniques. They flow from relationship with him. That's where it all starts. Flows from a relationship. So before we talk about gifts, we need to talk about listening. And so I've told this story several times just because maybe it's so meaningful to me, but I think it's painted a picture for some. And I want you to do something with me. And I really want you to do it. I'm not just saying that. I want you to do something with me. Not just listen, but I want you to imagine with me for a second. Imagine Central Park. in the heart of a restless city. We should have some audio. We ready? So the horns are blaring, right? The jackhammers are echoing. I want you to imagine with me and just actually hear it, actually hear the noise. Now so our noise could be kids. Our noise could be, you know, well, the kids and then all the activities that they bring into our lives. Our noise could be sickness. It could be health. It could be loss. It could be relational or marital strife. There's all sorts of noise in our life. There's the business. Got to keep the business going. I've got to keep the budget in line. So there's all sorts of noise in all of our lives, isn't there? We all have it. There's that cutting through the clutter, the just the noise. I don't know else to say it. So that scene represents all of those kind of noises. Couple that's just sitting in the middle of the park. No words, just hands clasped. They're surrounded by the noise of the city park and the chaos, the clutter, if you want to call it that. What are they saying? I mean, they're probably saying, I love you. They're probably saying, you know, you matter to me more than anything else. You're important to me. I'm here with you. I'm present. Relationship that goes deep, and they've spent countless hours, you know, listening to their partner's voice and gaining an understanding of them that no one else has. So they know that person's voice, even if it's just through holding hands. It's like it's speaking through all the clutter. There's an intimacy between them. And listen to this. Time invested creates a sanctuary that no distraction can penetrate. So they can sit there and communicate with each other without even of what it's like to hear his still small voice and all the clutter that we live in and all the noise that surrounds us. So look at me for a second. I want you to hear this. The world is never going to stop buzzing. It will never stop shouting for your attention. It will never stop demanding it. But when we've chosen to know him, what does scripture say? Be still and know. Be still and know. When you've chosen to know him, his voice cuts through the clamor every single time. When we've sought his presence, when we've learned the sound of his still small voice. Isn't it interesting that he says it's still a small voice? So don't mistake me. I put this up on the screen. It's not about striving to hear him above the noise. It's about knowing him so well that his voice is unmistakable even in the midst of it. There was some noise in my life this morning, you know? That was kind of some shattering news this morning, and, I hope Grandma Pearl makes it through, and plans were changed, and
all last minute details were just kind of derailed, and you know, we got the boys up early and that plan didn't work out. And you know, there's a plane rushing Grandma Pearl to Sioux Falls. So I mean, there's noise. But what if I heard the still small voice of the Comforter and the Prince of Peace above that noise? One of the most vital things that you can do for your soul is make space. Slow down. Be still, yep. Be still and know. And that is coming up against our culture hard, because our culture is, you know, plan out every minute of your day and crush it and get things done, right? Well, part of your day should include making space. Be still and know that I am God. So, starting with that this morning, let's go to number two. This last week says to us, to each one of us is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. And then in the next three verses, Paul lists, you know, gifts that reveal God's heart and his intent, including prophecy, words of wisdom, words of knowledge, faith, healing, miracles, discernment, gift of tongues, interpretation of tongues. And as we said, you know, none of the spiritual gifts, they're not about showing off our spirituality. That's not it. Part of the reason God gives us these revelatory and powerful gifts, as they're called, is that they reveal God's nearness. He's a person, he's the Holy Spirit, and he's near, and he empowers us, right? And so a simple way to just kind of look at and maybe understand revelatory gifts, let's talk about them first. Think of them this way. They help us hear what God is already saying. And they do so based in love. These gifts are timely, they're specific, they're edifying, they're spirit-initiated, and they're governed by love. So let's start with the prophetic gift and begin by saying, number three, God speaks to build, not to control. So important to say, because these gifts have been so abused. 1 Corinthians 14 says, follow the way of love and eagerly display the gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. The ones who prophesy speaks to the people for their what? For their strengthening, for their encouraging, their encouragement and comfort. So Paul doesn't leave us guessing about the purpose of the prophetic gift. He's very clear that they're not, as some, you know, would have it, about prediction. It's not about exposure. They're absolutely not about control. And not about sounding spiritual because you've got the gift, right? And you want everybody in the room to know. It's not it. They are, at their core, about building people up. Simple way to understand them. Number, the first bullet point there is prophecy, is speaking what God brings to mind to strengthen, encourage, or to comfort someone. Often sounds like, you know, I sense the Lord is saying, or I feel God is highlighting this for you. And a good way to say it is, this may be for you. Would you weigh it? And so it's timely, it's personal, it's anchored in love, and it's meant to build, not to impress. But if it doesn't strengthen, encourage, or comfort, it misses a biblical mark. The second bullet point is a word of wisdom. Is a God-given insight about what to do next. So this is, you know, it brings direction, it brings clarity, it offers God's perspective in maybe complex situations. You know, you're praying for somebody, I pray for all the people all the time that are like, what do I do from now? What do I do next? And so God will give a word of wisdom, and it answers the question, you know, God, where do I go from here? And so this is the kind of wisdom, think about it, that the world is desperate for. And they can't generate it on their own. Third bullet is a word of knowledge. So it's information that's revealed by the God that you couldn't know naturally. So it's like a download. It might involve a specific situation that he's speaking into or a certain need. It might be speaking to a personal struggle or a detail that simply confirms that God is aware and he's present. Sometimes we just need to know that. So its purpose is often to say, God sees you, God knows you, he knows exactly where you're at, and you're not alone. It's like the story I told, was it last week? Where I was singing out, and the Lord just confirmed to that young lady that he was in the place. God sees me. He's real. So why this matters is, we've already talked about it, the world is very loud. Am I right? There's opinions that are endless, advice is everywhere, especially in the internet age, and now as we enter the world of AI, and everybody's just asking all the questions, right? So, but here's the thing. Wisdom from heaven is it's rare. James says the wisdom from above, it's pure. It's first pure, then peace. I mean, listen to this. Peace-loving, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy, good fruits. It's impartial and it's free of hypocrisy. Doesn't that sound like the kind of wisdom that people want? I mean, that's the kind of wisdom I want to get. And so the prophetic gift exists because God knows what people need far better than we do. And he loves his children enough not to stay silent, but to speak. And he'll use us to do it if we know his voice. Gotta know his voice and listen to it. So this is an important function of the body of Christ. It's important to speak wisdom from heaven into a world that is starving for truth. Not to speak our opinions louder. That's not what I said. Amen. My good Lord, the church has turned so many people away by doing that. Please don't do that. It's not religious noise. It's not to use his gift for manipulation, but the prophetic gift is spirit-led. So Holy Spirit, the person, spirit-led. It's governed by love, and it's scripture-aligned. It's in line with the word of God. And that, all of that requires something of us. So before we can speak God's heart, we've got to learn to hear his voice. Not perfectly, not dramatically, not, you know, just but through faithful. What is it? It's relationship, through relationship with him. Spend some time with him, getting to know his voice, right? That's why listening matters. That's why stillness matters. That's why we practice fasting as a church family. It's a good rhythm, not only as a church, but as for your life. That's why community matters. God isn't looking for people who speak the loudest. I think he's looking for people who listen the closest. Amen. And any time that we believe that God is speaking, we weigh it with scripture. We weigh it with scripture, we weigh it with wisdom, and then we weigh it in the community. And so let me just say it again, right from scripture, the prophetic gift is for other than Holy Spirit, or bypasses leadership. It has stepped outside of scripture. God never uses his voice to violate his character. So let me say this, prophecy doesn't replace truth in scripture, right? You know, there's the prophetic, but it never overrides it. And it's always meant to build up the church. So at Destiny, pure and simple, this is our posture. We welcome spiritual gifts. We hold everything up to the truth of scripture, and we submit the gifts to community. And what do I mean by that? First Corinthians 14:29 says, let two or three prophets speak and let the others weigh what is said. That's why we have, you know, the prophetic table up here. And that's why we have the little signs on the tables, you know, that we have elders and pastors sitting up here to weigh what is being said to the community. You know, is this for the church? Is this for this moment? Does it align with God, what God is doing right now? God never bypasses the body to speak to the body. And so we value, I value humility over hype. What do I mean by that? Anytime more people are gathered to a name on a platform over the name of Jesus, that's just not where it's at. And so spiritual gifts are never to exalt a person over the person of Jesus. And so that's dangerous. I was so blessed by one of my friends. I don't know if you guys remember, you've been around long enough, Jesse Cruikshank, whom I brought to Sarah Fire Conference 1 year. And I knew from experience, she's just very prophetic. She has that gift in her life at functions. She was very practiced at hearing the voice of God. And just through our friendship, I know that. And I traveled with her in the district when I was on district staff too. So I asked her, you know, about ministry time at the end of the evening and what she, anyone I trust they're gonna come up and I can share it with them one-on-one. I just don't wanna draw attention to myself by doing that from the platform unless I have specific direction to do so. That blessed me. That was refreshing to hear. And after she left, I heard more personal testimonies of God speaking something prophetic from people that weekend that I'd heard in a long time. It was really cool. And so I God is faithful. And I love that so much more than hearing, you know, I'm driving across state lines to hear, prophet so-and-so. I mean, there's nothing wrong with driving to see a favorite speaker band. I go and see, you know, people all the time. I love that. But when we're following a person on a platform more than the voice, that's where the problem is. That's where something's out of order. So quit looking at other places or people when, number one, you can hear the voice of the Lord for yourself. That should be the first priority. And number two, you've got a whole community of believers that you're surrounded by, that if we're functioning, we can hear his voice and can speak over you as well. I just want to share a recent example of what this looks like in practice, because I think sometimes we assume that during our weekly team meetings and each week, what we're doing is we're taking time to ask the Lord for a word of wisdom, a prophetic encouragement for one staff person each week. And so nothing forced, nothing, you know, flashy. We're just asking, we're listening, and then we're sharing. And so, you know, one person's in the hot seat every week, and we're doing that until we're through everybody. So this particular week, this is our first week, actually, during our Tuesday afternoon soaking prayer time, you should totally come. But I was walking through the sanctuary and praying for the to mind. It's actually, we talked a lot about it this morning. The wind that we can hear right out the door, right? It's back. It came back. The Lord brought to mind that first windstorm that had whipped through our region. The powerful force of a display. Can I get a witness? Yeah, powerful. It picked up, just from my personal story, in my display, right? Of the force it left behind, there was trees that were just bent over, that were, you know, years old. There's property damaged all over the place. Our fence in the back here, we have an adjuster coming to look at that tomorrow. You know, thousands without power, electricity for days. I mean, the wind has such an intense power, and we've seen that. We're experiencing it even today, you know, with gusts, what do they say, in 70 to 80 miles per hour today. And then almost immediately, he reminded me of the first physical manifestation of Holy Spirit in Acts. What does it say? A mighty rushing wind. So this is what I sensed the Lord saying, you know, as he was giving me this picture. In a new strength and a new boldness and a renewed sense of calling and purpose. What was in the past will be reconciled and made new. And the enemy who has tried to kill, steal, and destroy will be powerless to stop what I have planned. It was said this morning, as I breathe new life, new breath and new Holy Spirit wind underneath your wings. Almost, so that word I believe I received from God, I knew I was going to share that with that staff person that I had been praying for, but almost immediately I realized that this wasn't just for her, it was for Destiny. And maybe it's for somebody else in the room today as well, but if you felt that in your spirit, grab it. But as I was thinking about how it applies to Destiny, I thought, man, we're all a little storm weary. You know, we walked through this some stormy seasons, some transitions, some, you know, pandemic, some loss, some divorce, some, yet here we are, still standing, still leaning in, and still listening to the voice of the Lord. And what are we asking? What do you have for us next? And I believe it's time for a fresh wind, a renewal to blow. And you know, if you want to be reminded what that sounds like in the book of Acts, it says, and suddenly a noise. And so here's what I loved most about this moment as it kind of unfolded. You know, that the Lord gave that to me as I was just, you know, walking around the sanctuary, kind of doing my prayer walk that I do on Tuesdays. And nobody spoke in a funny voice as we were sharing the prophetic words from the Lord said. You know, nobody did that. Nobody strained. Nobody tried to manufacture something spiritual. We just asked God to speak. Give us a word. We listened and we shared it. And it's simple and it's natural. And the beautiful thing, here's the beautiful thing. Almost everything that we share to fit together like pieces of a puzzle. And God was speaking the same thing in different directions, from, you know, different vessels. I, you know, when it comes to prophetic words, Pastor Brent used to say, the water tastes like the hose that it came from, right? And it's true. You've got to be careful. God loves to speak wisdom and guidance and direction over his children. And he often does it quietly, without a lot of attention. He'll do it consistently if you're in community of other people that are hearing his voice. What we experienced in that room isn't reserved for staff or leaders or elders or, you know, council or, you know, leadership. It's part of how God leads us, his children. It's for all of us. So number four, God still heals and God still acts. Think about the compassion of God on display. And so let me start with this. Before healing is ever about what happens, it's about who God is. Understand what I mean? Before it's about the result of the prayer, it's first about who he is. Psalms 103, verses 2 and 3. Bless the Lord, my soul, and do not forget any of his benefits, who pardons all your guilt and who heals all your diseases. Healing flows from God's nature. It's who he is. He's compassionate. He's present. He's attentive. And he's powerful. The name above every other name, right? Above cancer. Jesus didn't heal to prove a point, though. He healed because he was moved with compassion. That's exactly what it says in Matthew 14. When he came ashore, he saw the large crowd. He felt compassion for them, and he healed the sick. And if we keep following scripture, we find that what we find is that healing is never the headline. What's the headline? Thank you. Jesus is the headline. We say that around here a lot. Jesus is. So when Peter heals the lame man, what does he do? He immediately redirects attention. He says, why are you amazed at this? And why are you staring at us? As if through our own power, you know, we did this and we made him walk. Healing gifts don't elevate people. They reveal the kingdom. They reveal who God is. So they say, God sees you, he's near, God cares, and he's able. So, and this may be crucial to say out loud, our faith is based in obedience and not in the outcomes. We pray because God invites us to pray, and we believe because God is faithful, and then we trust him with the results. We just trust him. Faith is the certainty of things hoped for and a proof of things not seen, right? And so here's what faith doesn't mean. It doesn't mean that you always get what you want or that you can control the outcome. And it doesn't mean that you measure God's goodness by the results. Faith means that you obey and you trust and you remain open and you don't withdraw when answers take time. So why does verse 9 say gifts, plural, of healing? I think that tells us that healing can show up in different ways. God heals through prayer. God heals through process sometimes. God heals through medicine. God heals immediately sometimes, and sometimes God heals gradually, but it is all still from God. James 5:14 says, is anyone among you sick? Call for the elders of the church and pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. The church's role is faithfulness and obedience. What about miracles then? Miracles are moments when God acts beyond our natural expectation. They don't happen every day, but when they do, they just remind us God is not confined by what we can see. You ever been in a spot and you're just praying for a miracle? Luke says the things that are impossible with people are possible with God. I still remember to this day, you know, some of you know my friend Alex, when he wasn't supposed to make it in the hospital room. And I went in there as the pastor and thinking like, I just felt so inadequate. And then my supervisor spoke over me and he said, yeah, you are. He said, you totally are. You're inadequate, but you're going as an ambassador of the one who's more than enough. So walk into that room in obedience and pray. And miracle of all miracles, he wasn't supposed to live. He was on life support for I don't know how many weeks. But he's alive. He just went to Chili's with his dad yesterday. I saw it on Facebook. He's alive. They just remind us that God is still God. So just a pastoral word for those who are still waiting. And this matters deeply because if you've prayed for healing and haven't seen it yet, or maybe it didn't work out the way that you had hoped. You know, there's several things that I just want you to hear. You're not forgotten. You're not being punished. And God has not abandoned you. I believe what God would say to you is, my grace is sufficient for you. Again, sometimes God heals immediately, and sometimes he heals over time, and sometimes he sustains while we wait. But he's always present, and he never leaves us or forsakes us. So what's our role? We're called to pray boldly and to love deeply, right? To walk patiently sometimes, and support. You be the church. This is when the church needs to shoulder each other's burdens, right? We never pressure people to believe harder. Don't do that. Never pressure someone to say, believe harder. We walk with people while they hope. We have an anchor, a living hope. Because that's healing too. That's healing too. The same spirit who heals and the same spirit who performs miracles is also the same spirit who speaks gently and wisely and walks with people in love. So lastly, let's talk about tongues and their interpretation. 1 Corinthians says, In summary, when you meet together, one will sing, another will teach, another will tell someone some special revelation that God has given. One will speak in tongues, another will interpret what is said. But everything that is done must strengthen all of you. That verse is governing principle for everything Paul teaches about tongues interpretation. Other translations read, speaks in tongues, oh boy, right? Some have never seen it. Some have seen it abused. Others have just seen it joked about, made fun of. Some have been pressured into it out of confusion, right? But of peace. So scripture teaches just there's two primary functions of expression in tongues. Number one, tongues as a personal prayer language, first of all. For the one who speaks in a tongue does not speak to people, but to God, for no one understands. But in his spirit, he speaks mysteries. The one who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but the one who prophesies edifies the church. So Paul says it's prayer directed to God. It builds up the individual, and it can deepen intimacy with the Lord. It's implied that this is, in some ways, you know, private. It's devotional in nature. It's relational, and it's not meant to draw attention. And so if we use it to draw attention, it'll probably cause more confusion than anything else. But that doesn't diminish the gift, because Paul even says, I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you, right? It's a very important part of the spiritual work, and yet he doesn't go as far to make it a requirement. Number two, tongues with interpretation in the gathered church. So here's what Paul teaches in verses 27 and 28. If anyone speaks in a tongue, it must be by two or three, at the most three, and each one in turn, and one is to interpret. But if there is no interpreter, because the goal is what? So the gift of tongues, I want to say it again, just like all the other gifts, it's not a spiritual badge. It's not proof of maturity. They're not required for salvation, nor are they a reason to feel superior or inferior. 1 Corinthians 12:30 says, all do not speak with tongues, do they? All do not interpret, do they? There's an implication there, right? The implied answer is no. Holy Spirit distributes, we talked about last week, gifts wisely, not necessarily uniformly. So here's why having order with these gifts is loving. Some people hear the word order or see the cards on the tables giving instructions for words given in a corporate setting, and they immediately think limitation, you know. But scripture frames order as care for others. That's what it is. Order says you matter, understanding matters, and belonging matters, and safety matters in this. And love always asks, how will this build up and equip and edify the church and the body and encourage others? So here's what the goal is not. The goal is never the manifestation. The goal is what? Jesus. Some people think that, you know, nothing happens unless a word is given in service. It's not true. We love seeing the gifts move in our services, but the goal is always Jesus. We see that in verse 25. So he will fall on his face and worship God as a result, declaring that God is certainly among you. It's worship. That's the aim. Awareness of God's presence. Transformation, not spectacle. So at Destiny, you know, we are a spirit-filled church. And we are a people of the word. And so we welcome the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We love it. We teach them. We practice them biblically. And we submit them to love and to leadership. So now, if you've experienced these gifts and you treasure them, man, I love that. I love the gifts of the Spirit, and I love to see them move in the service. But I also want to say, if this feels unfamiliar or uncomfortable, you know, we honor you too. And God is patient, and he leads his people gently, right? Here's the thing about the gifts of the Spirit. Holy Spirit never forces himself. He just invites. And so that said, if God is this intentional about how his gifts operate, again, let's circle back to listening matters more than speaking. And that's what we're going to practice next. We're going to just take a moment just to do something very simple as we just close out this morning. Very simple, very biblical. We're not going to perform. We're not going to force anything. We're not going to put pressure on ourselves or anyone else. We're just going to listen. Jesus said, "My sheep, listen to my voice." That tells us something important. Listening to God is part of the relationship with Him. It's not something that's reserved for just a few. So here's what we're going to do. I'm just going to ask you to quiet your heart. Take a breath. Take a deep breath, if you would. And I just want to simply turn your attention toward the Lord. I find it helpful for me if I plant my feet firmly on the ground. I just kind of position myself. I'm in a listening posture. And let's just take a moment just to be still. And no, I'm not going to hurry this time. It's not going to take forever. Don't worry about that. But I don't want to hurry this time. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Thank you that you are in your own heart. I want you to ask the question, Holy Spirit, what are you saying to me this morning? You may sense a word, you may picture an image, you may have a scripture come to mind. So if you receive something, maybe an image or a scene, like I shared earlier, or a scripture that might not make sense right away, don't overanalyze it. For now, just receive it. If it's from the Lord, it's going to align with scripture. It's going to reflect His character. It's going to carry peace. Now, one more question. Again, just quietly in this moment. Lord, is this for my encouragement? Or is this something that you're growing in me? Let's ask that question. That you are gentle and you're faithful and that you're near. Amen. Amen. So I hope just moments like that become a rhythm for us. And you don't have to raise your hand, but I can just imagine there's some of us that are sitting in this room and said, my mind never stopped. It's practice, right? It's hard for us when we've got so many things swirling, the chaos, the noise. And so It's a principle. I mean, we call it practicing His presence sometimes. It takes willpower. You got to make space is the language that we use. And it was nothing. Everything was turned off, the phone, any kind of screen, and it was very a strict practice, because it was relearning to just stop all the noise. And so I hope, maybe above everything else that we talked about today, I hope you heard that. So before we move on, let me just say maybe clearly, you don't have to share, what you sensed or didn't sense with anyone. You don't, and maybe you don't even have to act on what the Lord was saying immediately. You don't have to even be certain about it yet. But we weigh what we sense with scripture, right? With prayer, and then if you trust, getting something for us, it's about growing our attentiveness, learning how to hear His voice. God's voice is often clearer than we expect when it comes. I say that again. God's voice is often clearer than we expect. It's not, sometimes it's quieter than we hope for, but it's very clear when you hear his voice. There's a peace that comes with it. There's a sense that, you know, this is what you have for me this morning. Okay, let's go. Today and last week, we've been talking about spiritual gifts. Next week, I think we're going to talk about our heart. What's circling around in your heart right there? What makes your heart beat? You pound your fist on the table. Received some of your homework. Some of you have not turned your homework in. I'm just kidding. So your homework this week is the revelatory gifts. So we're gonna talk the power gifts that we talked about today. It's just another spiritual gifts test, similar to what you did last week. And it's not to label you. I'll say it again, but to help you discern how Holy Spirit's probably already working in you. So there's the question. Have you been doing your homework? That's the big question. So these are really great tools, so I hope you take advantage of them. But let me just end by saying this. God still speaks, he still empowers, and God does it in love because he loves you. So I'm just going to leave with the Apostle Paul's words to close us out. This is what he says. We should always give thanks to God for you, brothers and sisters, beloved by the Lord, because God has chosen you from the beginning for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and faith in truth. So congratulations, church. You're gifted, you're loved, and you're invited to walk with Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen. Let me just pray, and then we've got one more thing that we got to do before we dismiss. Thank you, God, for what you're doing in this room right now, and Lord, what you've already been doing. Thank you, God, that you can move in power in our lives. You empower us. You give us words to say sometimes when we're speechless, God. You give us strength when we don't have any. Holy Spirit, I just pray that you would give us the boldness to function in the gifts that you've given us. As you formed us from the very beginning with purpose and with a destiny that's bigger and better than we could ever even imagine. So God, we want to walk in the fullness of all that you have for us, God. Thank you for empowering your church. Amen.